I would think the first thing I notice is just the way that he skates. He's got a real wide posture. So when he's going up the ice, it's such a powerful stride. And I think people have to remember that, you know, these guys are just 18 and 19 years old, and as good as they are, they're going to get better. You know, their skating is going to get better. You know, they're going to get more powerful. The level of skill that he has is eye-catching. I mean, when he gets into the open ice, that's where he's at his best. And he had an odd tournament. He had 14 points, and they were, or 13 points rather, and they were in two games. You know, so he got zip in four. Yet it doesn't mean that he wasn't a factor. Just he didn't get anything else in the other four.
And speaking to Pierre McGuire, actually, last year after the tournament, he said very similar. He talked about the speed, and he was suggesting that when he gets the puck, unlike some other players who maybe the puck will slow them down, he could even pick up speed when he has the puck. He compared it more of a feather as opposed to an anchor when he has the puck. Is that when he's at his best, sort of, you know, when he has the puck and looking for teammates and looking to create offensive opportunities?
Yeah, sure. You know, like most high-end skill teenagers, the work for him is going to be without the puck, because you have it less in the NHL. There's just less room. There's less opportunity to get into the open ice and skate it. And the one thing that, you know, if I were to critique anything about his game, is that, you know, he hangs on to the puck a lot, and that at some point, you know, when he gets to the next level, he's going to have to learn the give and go game a bit more. But when you have this whole bucket of talent, that the give and go game becomes a pleasure. You give it to somebody and you know you're going to get it back. Oftentimes, the young guys don't give it up because they don't feel they're going to get it back.
Sure. So I was going to ask you if his game can translate to the next level, and obviously he has a bright future if he comes to North America as early as next year. But if I'm hearing you correctly, some of the areas he will have to work on are naturally maturation related. But
yes, sorry to interrupt, Ben. That is exactly where I look at a player like Kuznetsov, and I think, you know, he's just so good and so skilled. But the next level is about managing the puck and, you know, managing your time on the ice. I mean, he took some shifts that were 2 minutes long. You know, of course, that doesn't work at the next level. But he hasn't got there yet. So to say that, oh, he can't do it or that he won't do it is foolish. I mean, he's not there yet. He's going to get there. Now, the trick will be, of course, as with most of the players that have this option from Europe, is that, you know, if he came to North America and he needed seasoning, would he go to the American League? I can't think that he would need much time there, but if not, he'll stay in Russia.
Yeah, and actually just last week, George McPhee referenced that maybe if you keep him overseas for too long, that George McPhee doesn't want him to necessarily pick up bad habits that wouldn't translate in the NHL or the North American game. It's TSN hockey analyst Ray Ferraro joining us as we get you set for the Capitals and San Jose Sharks. And if I'm hearing you correctly also, Ray, it sounds like he's not necessarily one of the biggest guys, Kuznetsov, but sounds like he's tough to get off the puck nonetheless.
Very, very, very strong over the puck. And yeah, I mean, you have lots of 6'3" guys that aren't very difficult to move off the puck, and then you got some 5'10" guys that are incredibly difficult to move off the puck. And Kuznetsov is big enough, he's strong enough, and when he's on the puck, he's you know, in the level he's playing, he's a tough load to get off it.
And just looking at the tournament again, you're having been there, could you shed some light a little bit? Couldn't tell if it was sort of tongue-in-cheek or if it was serious and legitimate, but it seemed as if there was a little bit of a back and forth between Kuznetsov and some of the Canadians in the crowd, and a little bit of give and take there. But big stage, and I guess public enemy number one. How did that in the end go down, if you will?
Well, I mean, he is when he scores, he's very exuberant. Like Peter Mrazek from the Czech Republic, the goaltender who was so brilliant. I mean, they're 19-year-old kids, and their celebrations were maybe over the top a bit, but so the fans get on him. I mean, he's the most noticeable guy on the Russian team. And when they won, you know, he was not scared to whoop it up. And I don't put much stock into it. He's a 19-year-old kid, and you know, like many players in the tournament, when they celebrate, they're you know, super excited. The difference is that, you know, Kuznetsov is kind of a focal point, and people were staring at him, people were watching him, and he wasn't shy to, when they beat the Canadians, to, you know, to say, hey, we did it. You know, we beat you guys on your home turf. And I think it is a measure of having some, you know, some guts. He doesn't mind the spotlight, but I didn't put too much stock into it.
And final thing, it sounds as if, and watching the gold medal game, the right team won the tournament.
I watched the Swedes a week before the tournament started, and I said to my play-by-play partner, Gordon Miller, I can't imagine there's another team that's going to be much better than this. And, wow, they were fast. They were deep. I wasn't real sure about their goaltending, but it held up, including a remarkable save with about 30 seconds left in regulation to keep it 0-0. But the best team, the deepest team, they won. The right team won the tournament.
And just a local tie here, again, putting you on the spot a little bit. No, you didn't necessarily cover all of the Americans' games, but for a team that was returning a few players, including the goalies, for the Americans to come up in seventh place, obviously not the result they would have wanted. What happened there?
Well, they laid in. I mean, they had lots of shots against the Czechs, and Mrazek was fantastic. I thought they played too much on the perimeter. They're big guys, the guys they had to have score for them, Emerson Edom, who's a first-round pick, Brandon Saad, who's a second-round pick, they came up empty. Charlie Coyle had three goals against Denmark in the first game and nothing after it. Their big guys didn't carry their team, and I don't know that this was the best year for them when you look at that. They had five forwards under 6 feet. They didn't create a lot of traffic and a lot of pressure. They had lots of shots, but I just don't think it was their year.
All right, so that's much appreciated, and thank you, Ray. We'll look for you the next time you're at Verizon Center calling the game for TSN.
Awesome, Ben. Thanks a lot, eh?